to be in God's house. I want to say that Paris Christian Center is and always has been an interdenominational church, and you will never get me up here talking about this denomination or that denomination, because I don't care what you are. What I want to know is if you're saved. What I want to know is if you're saved. Are you on your way to heaven? Does God know your name? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Let's go now to Exodus chapter 17. We're going to begin to read in verse 8. I always preach out of the overflow of my life because it's what I know. You can't preach about what you don't know about. If you've ever been in a service where you've got a pastor and they're up there talking about something that they don't know about, those are the worst services to be. But a pastor, a good one, they'll preach out of the overflow of their life because they know that. They know it. And God has been working on me this week with bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. You know, that's a hard thing to do. How many of you realize that people are exhausting? Praise the Lord. We've got a bunch of honest people in here today. I'm going to ask that one more time. Some of you ain't voting. How many of you know people are exhausting? All right. They are. How many of you know you're exhausting? Sometimes I wear my own self out. Well, we have to learn how to bear with one another, and it's hard to do because people will get on your nerves. You will get on your own nerves. Your family will get on your nerves. Your children will get on your nerves. Your husband or your wife will get on your nerves, and then you'll get on your own nerves again. We have to learn how to bear with one another. It's a must in the body of Christ. And when you really look at our society today, what you see is that people are unwilling to bear with one another. So we're going to take a look at that. Exodus chapter 17, we're going to begin at verse 8. And it says this right here, when the Israelites were at Rephidim, they were attacked by the Amalekites. And so Moses told Joshua, have some men ready to attack the Amalekites tomorrow. I will stand on a hilltop holding this walking stick that has the power of God. And in verse 10, Joshua led the attack as Moses had commanded. And while Moses, Aaron, and Hur stood on the hilltop, the Israelites outfought the Amalekites as long as Moses held up his arms. But they started losing whenever he lowered them. And after a while, his arms were so tired that Aaron and Hur got a rock for him to sit on. And I'm going to give you some key points about what it takes to bear with one another. And I will never preach to you if I cannot give it to you chapter and verse. That is very important. You hear people misquote the Bible. You hear people making up their own books of the Bible. If it's not in the Word, I will not preach it. And this is the part of the service where I always say, Melissa, if you are not in your Word, you are missing out. There's a part of your salvation that you are not working out. You've got to work out your own. Everybody say own. Own salvation with fear and with trembling. You can't work out Sally Sue's salvation. You can't work out Billy Bob's salvation. Can I get an amen? You got to work out your own salvation. And that puts a real damper on nosy Nancy's. Because lots of people like to work out everybody else's own salvation besides their own. And I'm here to tell you today that's not going to work. That's not going to work. You got to work your own salvation out, and you have to do it with fear and with trembling, just as the Word of God says so. And what you see here is that Aaron and Hur, they noticed the moment that Moses got tired. They noticed it. What I want to ask you today is this right here. We all know when we go through battles. We know it. We feel it in our soul. Are you discerning enough to know and to be able to perceive when your brothers and sisters in the Lord, they are going through a battle, and can you notice it? That's a key aspect of bearing with one another. There's so many people, and they're all about themselves, that they don't notice nothing about nobody besides themselves. I'm going to encourage you not to be one of those people. Because look here, life is not all about you. Life is not all about you. You know, when we were being raised, in the ministry, we heard the same thing every single Sunday morning, and the same thing happened every single Sunday morning. We would get in the car, and back in the day when it was just Casey and I, Dad would get in there. He would get his rear view mirror in Tierney. He would start lecturing us, and here was the lecture. Girls, we're going to go to church today, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to serve people. And we're not only going to serve them, but we're going to serve them in the spirit of excellence. And not only are we going to do that, but we're going to do it with a smile on our face. Because it is not about us four and no more. And I want to tell you that, yes, you're going to go through battles in this lifetime. The Word of God says, in this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulations. See, that's a thing. That's not ever going to go away in this lifetime. That's going to happen. You'll go through trials. You'll go through tribulation. That's how it is. That's life. We don't live in a perfect world. What I want to know today is, can you perceive when somebody around you is hurting and they're going through something? Because, see, that's what Aaron and Hur did. Here's Moses, and he's trying to win that battle, and he's getting tired. How many of you know that battles get you tired? If you've ever been through a good battle, sometimes it's exhausting just to get out of the bed. I get it. When people say, I'm so depressed, Pastor, that I can't even get out of my bed. Let me tell you something. I've been there. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to not be able to take a bath for 3 or 4 days because that spirit is so heavy on you. I understand that. I get it. See, I couldn't preach about it if I haven't experienced, but I have been there. And what I want to tell you today is be that person that you say, Holy Spirit, wake me up in the morning and tell me who's hurting. God, who can I bless today? Who do I need to text today? Who needs a kind word today? See, the Word says, give us our daily bread. God, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow or the next day or the next day. God, give me today. You'll spend your whole life living in tomorrow or yesterday. But see, bearing with one another, you must live in today and you must be able to see who's hurting. What's going on? Who's worn out? Who's struggling? There are people all around us and they're hurting. There are people all around us and they're struggling. And not only are they struggling, but they are dealing with things that they can't even talk about. I used to not be able to understand that, but there are things now in my life, Brenda, that they hurt me so bad, I can't even speak them out loud. I get it. We got to bear with one another. The body of Christ was designed to heal its own. And so many times the church kills and snuffs out their own. And it's not right. And it's not right. It's easier to judge someone than to bear with them and go with the flow and say, you know what, I don't understand what you're going through and I don't have to understand it. See, you don't got to understand what everybody around you is going through. You don't have to understand it. God's not relying on you to understand it. What he's wanting to know is, can you be that person that I can use, that you're going to bear with somebody and you're going to help me heal them up? See, you're either that person or you're not. You're either that person or you're not. And I thank God for people when they are. Because look here, the world needs more of them. The world needs more people like that. It's easy to judge. And not only is it easy, but it's our human nature. You're not going to wake up and just not be a judgmental person. You're going to have to work on it. And there's something about life, the more judgmental you want to be about a certain topic, you'll find yourself right up in the middle of that same thing. See, there's been so many times where I've had to say this prayer, God, help me not be a hypocrite. See, can you be real with yourself? God, help me not be a hypocrite. Lord, I'm judging that person and I've done that same thing. Or God, I'm judging that person and I'm doing that same thing right now. See, what kind of person are you today? Who are you? Who are you on your worst day? You know what? Nobody wants to hear that their two babies have just been in a horrific accident and drive up and the babies are crying and all that stuff. Nobody wants that. But you know what I know? I know, Shelley, that beyond the shadow of the doubt, that the day that God gave me those kids and I walked them up here and dedicated them to the living God, I know that there's times that I can't be there in every moment for my kids. But I serve a God that He is there in every single moment. See, every moment of your life, you want to battle with coming to church and, oh, I'm offended. Look here, if I've offended you, that's probably conviction coming on your heart and on your soul. So don't get mad at the pastor when I got to say something to you because, you know, it's very uncomfortable for me. I'm like, God, is there any way around me saying this? Because, gosh, darn, that's going to offend the fire out of them. Oh, my God. I'm going to call Brother Larry up. I'm going to see if he can maybe say something, little hint. Pastor people through pastors sometimes. Pastor them through people. Look here, don't you get offended at your pastor. Your pastor loves you. You're not going to get a pastor that loves you more than I do. I would be there for you in the worst of the worst. But look here, we got to learn and do better at bearing with one another. Don't you be judging Sally Sue. We know Sally Sue's silly. We know that. We know about us too. How many of you know you're just as messed up as Sally Sue, probably just in a different way? Amen? See, this is not I'm fine, you're fine, we're all fine. Can we agree we're all pretty messed up? Okay. Now we're honest. Now we're honest. I'm the most messed up person I know. I'm like, God, are you sure? You want me to do this? I don't even got the patience for some of this stuff, God. It's like, yeah, Kelly, but you can love people better than most people. That's why I called you. That's why I called you. So here we are, and it says here, the Israelites outfought the Amalekites as long as Moses held up his arms, but they started losing whenever he lowered them. And after a while, his arms were so tired that Aaron and Hur got a rock for him to sit on. And then they stood beside him and supported his arms in the same position until sunset. And I want to bring out a couple factors here. Number one, if you are going through a battle, at whatever point in your life you're going through, you may be going through it today. I want to tell you a very key element about battles. It's okay to sit down. It's okay to rest for a minute. It's okay. Can you imagine how Moses probably felt? Here he is, and he's trying to be a leader. See, the best leaders know when to just take a rest. It's not easy, but it's a must. It's a must. And when you get in the middle of the battle and you get weary, I know everybody's pointing at me, I'm not good at it. God is helping me to be better at it. God tells me all the time, Kelly, it's okay to just be a human. Kelly, it's okay. If you're going to struggle, Kelly, you struggle and you show God's glory in every part of it. You know what? It is what it is. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. It's okay to sit down and take a rest. And what you notice, the other thing that you notice in this battle, is that when Aaron and Hur, what they did was they came alongside him. They came alongside him, and they steadied him. They steadied him, and they held his hands up. They held his arms up until nighttime. See, some people just sit there, well, dinner's getting on. Boy, Moses better shift this into second gear. If you're watching the clock now, we get out at 12. I don't know what you're having for lunch, but don't be thinking about it in this service. That's a joke. For all the uptight people, that's a joke. You think about whatever you want to think about. Hopefully you're thinking about the word. But here they are, and he came alongside them, and they just held him up. And they just held him up. See, are you that person, or do you got to know every single last detail about everybody just to qualify them whether or not you're going to support them or not? Who are you? Who are you? I'm thankful for the amazing people in my life that were at the worst point in my life. They were there. They were there. They didn't have to qualify me. I don't know if I'm going to support you. I don't know. You know, one of the worst things you can do to your pastor is every other second, I'm quitting if you don't do this, or I'm quitting if you don't do that. You know what? There comes a time where you just say, you know what? If that's the only Holy Ghost that you got, you ain't got the same one that I got. Because, see, you are either planted or you're not planted. And you're going to decide. And you're going to decide. And I want to remind you that God himself places each member in the body as he sees fit. And you know what I have to do, Angel? I have to not try to do it all. Because look here, I'm just one part. It ain't up to the pastor to do everything. It ain't up to the deacon to do everything. We're all getting older, aren't we, Brother Charlie? He looks the same as he did 30 years ago. And if you ever think he's sick, he ain't aged a bit. Don't let him fool you. If Brother Charlie is ever sick, this is how you'll know it. A kid will run by and he won't say nothing. We'll know he's sick when he stops getting on to kids. He's been getting on to kids for over 30 years, and we're blessed to have you. So, can you notice when your brother or sister in the Lord, when they're exhausted, when they're weary, when they're weak, or is it all about you? Do you notice people when they're in a battle? Do you notice them? Do you notice them? And if you don't, if you're not somebody that can notice people, pray and say, God, give me a discerning spirit to where when I wake up, you put somebody's name on my heart and you show me that they need a little something today. See, God has orchestrated in your life for you to be a blessing every single day of every single moment of every breath of your life. He's made it to where you could be a blessing if you wanted to. And so many times we get in the fit of everything about life and we just forget about everything and we're in survival mode and we're just trying to get it all done. Look here, you can't get it all done. It never ends. The laundry never ends. The dishes never end. The troubles never end. The drama never ends. The kids fighting never ends. The bickering never ends. The nothing. Have you noticed that about life? I have. So it says here, then they stood beside him and supported his arms in the same position until sunset. And that is how Joshua defeated the Amalekites. And afterwards, the Lord said to Moses, write an account of this victory and read it to Joshua. I want the Amalekites to be forgotten forever. And in verse 15, it says, Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord gives me victory. And I want to tell you something. God himself will give you the victory. God will. What does the word say? The word says that it's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And there are so many times in the battle, God really wants you to be doing what he had Moses doing, which is resting, and you're sitting there and you're chasing your own tail because you feel like you've got to just handle it. Look here. Let go of it. Back up and give it to God. And God will send you people that will back you. And not only will he send you people that will back you, he'll back you. He'll back you. There are days where I sit in my house when everything is quiet, when everything is settled, and I just cry because I say, God, I don't know why you're so good to me. God, I'm humbled by just how you've been to me. God, I don't deserve it. Lord, I didn't earn it. Develop the quality and the character and the integrity of learning how to bear with one another. That'll take you further in your life than judging people, assuming things. How many of you have ever assumed something about somebody and been wrong? And not only wrong, but dead wrong. I remember when I was growing up, we always went to Branson every summer. My parents, they worked very hard. and they did their very best, and they gave us the very best. Shelly, you remember those vacation trips to Branson? Well, I've got an Aunt Kathy, and there ain't nobody better than Aunt Kathy. Everybody needs an Aunt Kathy in their life. She will fight with you. She will love on you. She will defend you, and she will punch you. I mean, she is a hot-blooded Italian Puerto Rican woman, and she's his baby sister. And there's a difference between wrong and dead wrong. And I know that because when I was about 10 years old, they got in an argument about 4 o'clock in the morning, and all I hear is this right here. We're a very theatrical family. Here's Dad. And we're all sleeping because Aunt Kathy gets up at about 3 in the morning and she wants to drink coffee with her big brother. And I'm like, these people are crazy. And how do I have their genetics? Because this is probably going to mean I'm going to be just like this when I grow up. And here's Dad. And he goes, Kathy, you are dead wrong. And I'm like, and he does it again. You are dead wrong. And I'm going, he did it a third time. You are dead wrong. And I'm like, adrenaline. My heart is pounding. Because you ever get woke up out of a dead sleep and something scare you? And I'm going, God, I pray to God that Kathy knows she is dead wrong. Because I'm about to just have a heart attack right here. And so look here. You can assume some things about people when they're in their battle. And you can be dead wrong. Dead wrong. Not just wrong. Dead wrong. And if you've ever had that done to you, it makes you a better person because you won't be so quick to do that to others. See, how are you when it's not your battle? A lot of times I get up here and I preach about your own battle. Well, today I'm preaching about the battle of others because you need to know how to act. I need to know how to act. Bear with one another. So it says here, the Lord gives me victory. And then Moses explained, this is because I depended on the Lord. See, are you depending on God? Are you depending on God this morning? I want to encourage you to have the epiphany to know that there are things that you can't do for yourself. There are things that there is not a person on this planet that they can't do it for you. There are things, Miss Stella, that only God can do for you. There are battles that only the living God can fight for you and win for you. See, there ain't nothing God wouldn't do for you. Bear with one another. Bear with one another. Moses said, you know what? This battle was won because I depended on God. Today when I was driving to get my boys and I got them in the car, and little Coco, he said, I just want to know what happened. See, your life can change in a moment. Your family dynamic can change in a moment. And out of the mouths of babes, 7 years old, he said, I just want to know what happened. And I said, baby, here's what happened. The devil, when you and your daddy and your brother woke up, the devil had ordained a disaster. The devil had ordained a tragedy, but God would not allow it. Amen. That's what happened today. And I said, boys, I'm sorry that you had that experience. And I want to tell each and every single one of you today, if you're in a battle that you don't know how it's going to work out, I want to encourage you right now, it's going to work out. And not just work out a little, work out for your good. God's going to cause your tragedy to be a blessing to you when it's all at the end. See, God's not done. If it don't look good still, God's not finished with it. You need to hold on a minute. God has got you. In that battle, he's got you. He's got you in it. Please be someone that has people's backs when they're going through a battle. Bear with them. Bear with them. You know, I've had a lot of examples of what I'm preaching about today. Every Saturday night, people are like, So do you just go on the internet and get what you're going to preach? Or do you order it off the internet? And I'm going, yeah, how would I do that? I need a sermon for a crazy blonde-headed pastor, and she's very eccentric and she's like a squirrel. Give me one of them sermons. Can you get her one? Look here. God gives me these messages. I ask God every Saturday night, Lord, what would you say to your people? What do you want to say them? And this was it. And out of my own life, here's what I can share. God will totally place people in your life. God knows the battle before the battle ever got started. In the book of Daniel, when Daniel called out to God, and 21 days later, there was still nothing. See, sometimes you're going to pray, and it's not like McDonald's. You're not going to get it super fast. And what did the angel of God say to Daniel? Look here, Daniel, from the very first moment that you prayed, God heard you. I want to tell you, if you're in a battle right now, God has heard you. Not only has he heard you, but he's lined up all of the people that are going to be for you. He's orchestrated the people that are going to hold your hands up. He's orchestrated the people that are going to defend you when the gossip starts. See, that is what God will do. I'm not standing here by accident today. I'm standing here because, Sherry, God put me here. And it's God and God alone to keep me here. And what I can say is that I've been a kept woman. What I can say is that I've been a kept woman. Rocky, God has kept this girl. God has kept her. And I remember one of the worst days in my battle. I went over to that office and I just began to weep. And I just weeped and weeped and weeped. And she's not here today, but I'm going to brag on her. Little Miss Jen came in there. How many of you love Jen? She's a doll. Shelly's going, who is she? Shelly, you got to come to church more often. Right, Daddy? I'm kidding. Don't you get offended. Shelly's going, it just got hot in here. Don't leave. She ain't going to leave. Shelly and I have been through worse things than that. We've boxed each other many times. She'd go kill somebody for me if I needed her to. That's just how she is. But on one of my worst days, I got in that office and I just began to weep to God. And in walks little Jen. See, it's not by accident that God will move people straight up from California to be one of your best friends. That's not an accident. Let me tell you, that day, I didn't have my sisters. I didn't have nobody. But see, God sent Jen. And what did she do? She got on her hands and her knees, and she knelt down right beside me, and she took my hands, and she just began to pray. And she said, now look here, Pastor. You're the most smartest, prettiest woman I know. Let's go. Let's get up. And we're going to handle this, and we're going to handle it together. See, you're either going to grab somebody up, and you're going to say, let's handle this together, or you're going to sit there and judge them. Now, you're going to decide what you're going to do. But by golly, when you make that decision about how you handle somebody else's battle, whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. When you get up in your battle and ain't nobody around, you best ask God, well, what did I do wrong, God? Who are you? Who are you on your worst day? Who are you? And what kind of person are you really? Now, once again, speaking out of my own life, because I can't speak out of y'all's or you'll get offended. So I'm going to tell on myself. There have been times in my life before I went through a lot of heartache that I was judgmental about certain things. And I'm going to tell you something. God will humble you. God will humble you. Don't put yourself in a position to have to be humbled by God or to be corrected. See, God, the Word of God says, I only chastise those that I love. I only chastise those that I love. See, if God didn't love you, He'd never call you up short. If God didn't love you, He'd never correct you. He'd let you go on. When you're being corrected by God, say, God, I thank You for loving me so much that You've chosen to correct me and to deal with me. But see, bear with one another. Bear with one another. Can you sit at someone's feet and hold their hands while they're weeping about their own mess? Bear with them. Bear with them. Something that God told me at the beginning of my pastorship was this right here. Kelly, you don't got to be Dr. Phil. How many of y'all liked watching Dr. Phil? God, I love that man. Love him. He has an answer for everything. And I'm like, God, only thing I can do is talk. I mean, why can't You give me answers for everything? And look here, you don't got to have the answer for everybody when they're going through their battle, but you got to love them. You won't get nowhere with anybody if you don't love them. See, love is the only thing that I know of that covers over a multitude of sins. What we want to do when we get cross with someone, or what we want to do when we don't agree with something, or what we want to do when we don't understand someone's situation is, yeah, we want to be judgmental. But have you ever tried this? Maybe it's your grown kid. Maybe it's your family member. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your boss. Well, that person's not doing what I want them to do, so here's how I'm going to handle them. I'm going to give them the good old-fashioned silent treatment, because that's going to teach them how to act. Anybody give anybody the silent treatment because they don't act right? How has that worked? It don't, does it? It don't work. Where in the Bible do you see silent treatments as an effective way to deal with people? And I'm glad we got some honest folks up in here, because you know what, Sherry? I'm going to tell you, some of the people that I love the most, that's how I've dealt with them. I've just given them the good old-fashioned silent treatment. And then I sat there and was mad at God because He didn't change their life. Well, He was trying to change their life through you, and you were being a jerk. You know how many times I've had to get on my knees and pray and say, God, forgive me for being a jerk? You know how many times I've had to get on my knees, Jill, and pray, God, forgive me for being a judgmental jerk. God, please get me out of a place where I'm being corrected by You, because I'm very uncomfortable right now. Bear with one another. Bear with one another. Let's go now to Luke chapter 10. You know, when we give people the silent treatment, when we do things to them when they're going through their battle, I like to call that trying to play the Holy Spirit in someone's life. You know, the Word says that no man can be drawn, but that the Father draw him. How do you think God's going to draw people? Is He going to do it with sugar? Is He going to do it with vinegar? How's He going to do that? He's going to pour some sugar on it. What is that sugar? Grace. What is that sugar? Grace. A kind word. Michelle's going, God, help me. I'm going to have to come to the altar. I know. Trust me, I know. I can't tell you how many times I've been out there on a Wednesday and my absolute religion was totally saying, God, please don't let me lose my religion over this yogurt. This person is testing me, and I'm about to fail. No, you're taking the celery, lady. Trust me, we got two pallets of it. Heifer, you're taking that celery, because if you don't, I'm going to shove it down your throat. I don't care. They're like, what are we going to do with the celery? I am wondering the same thing because I have two pallets of it. I have no clue what we're doing with that celery, okay? But see, if you're going to walk through this food line, heifer, you taking five bunches of it. Don't give me no problems. And then come Wednesday night when Daddy's preaching, I start feeling convicted. Then I got to go to the altar. And I'm going, God, please help me to bear with people. Because, see, I'm not perfect either. And if you've got an idea that you think that your pastor's perfect, I'm going to take that little idea of yours and we're going to squash it right now. Because I'm probably the most messed up one in the place. But I got a big mouth and I'll suit up and show up. That's why I do this. That's why God called me to do it. No, I wasn't qualified when he called me. He qualified me. He equipped me. You know how many haters I had in the beginning of the ministry? That woman pastor, she's of the devil. Look here. I'm still here. That woman pastor got a $300,000 grant for the Manna Center. Okay? Here's my thing. Can you bear with people? Can you bear with them? I'm going to tell you something. God is amazing how he works. Dwayne, he's amazing. Because God will straight up take people up out of your life. He'll straight up put people back in them. See, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. I was sitting up there and I drove up to the wreck today. And I'm going to tell you something. When I tell you that God will handpick people for your battle, he'll handpick people for your struggle, he'll handpick people for your life, that's no joke. So I drive up there, and this woman has my babies, the two most precious things that I have here on this earth, has them in her car. And guess who it was? A woman that worked at the school, that they both know, that they're both comfortable with, that they both love, and that loves them. And see, you want to tell me that you don't want to do what God calls you to do? Amen. Then guess what? You're going to go a flat out nowhere. And here's my baby. I just want to know what happened. Look here, God showed up. That's what happened. God showed up, and that's what happened. See, you can look at that situation. You know what, Angel? I could have come up behind this pulpit and been mad as heck at God. But you know what? That would have been sin for me to do that. Because you know what? I'm not looking at what happened. I'm looking at what God did. And what God did was preserved every person. That's what he did. See, sometimes bearing with people is just sitting them down and loving on them and saying, you know what? Let's look at this a different way. God preserved you. God kept you. Are you still breathing? Yes. God's good. Bear with one another. Bear with them. So Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at verse 30. And this is a story, I'm sure everybody's heard it, of the Good Samaritan. And it says here, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. And they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. See, look here. God is no respecter of persons. Here's a priest, and here's a person, and they're struggling. And what does the priest do? Walk right past them. And not only walks past them, but gets on the other side of the road so they don't make eye contact. It's like when you're at the mall and somebody's trying to sell you something, and you're like, oh, don't make eye contact with them. That's what the priest did. Just totally walked right around them. Then, so too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. See, what I want to ask you today is, you know what, are you going to pass by on the other side of somebody that's hurting and that's weary? Are you going to get yourself on the same side of them? Because at the end of the day, you're a person of faith that knows that at the end of the day, you're no better than anybody else. I have women at the jail ask me all the time, why do you come in here? Why do you come in here and deal with us? You know why? Here's the deal, ladies. We're all women. And I'm not any better than you. And if you'll change your life, if you'll give your life to God, He'll make you into something you never even thought you could be. He'll fix your life. When everything tells you no, God will tell you yes. You're either going to get on the same side as somebody or you're not. But you know what? You can't help them across the road. How did God help you? Did He like, oh, I don't want to touch them? I remember back in the day, many, many years ago, Mary Baker, before she got married to Larry, was a foster mom. And one of her two couple of first little kids was these little girls, about 2 and 3 years old, and they had been beaten so bad, their body parts were casted. And they had little club feet, little club hands. Remember Mary? Weren't they precious? And they had head lice all over the place. And then babies came and they were scared. They were broken in their spirit. They were broken in their body. And I thought, look here, I've always loved babies. I've always loved kids. I thought, I don't really want to scoop them babies up, but God, I don't want that head lice. God began to deal with me. Kelly, their mother allowed them to be beaten. Now you go and you scoop those babies up. Don't you worry about the head lice. And I scooped them babies up. I didn't get the head lice, but what I got was a blessing. Because you know what? You're going to either be the hands and feet of Jesus or not. But I want you to remember in your darkest times, how did Christ deal with you? Did He come right where you were at? He did. If you're real honest with yourself, that's exactly what He did. See, you can't help somebody if you won't go to them. Bear with them. One of the sweetest things is when I see Miss Sherry helping Miss Barbara. Barbara, you are a blessing. How many people love Barbara up in here? I love Barbara. Don't tell me you can't help on Wednesdays because Barbie get out there and she'll get right up in the thick of it. I tell her, Barbara, you are not allowed to fall today, okay? Go sort the grapes over there, all right? But see, can you bear with them? Can you bear with them? And so here it says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey. See, he took what he had, his own stuff. And he put the guy on his own donkey, bandaged his wounds, loved on him, went to where he was. And it says that he took him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any expense that you may have. See, out of all the people that God wanted to use, there were people that walked by that man, didn't want to be on even on the same side of the road as him. I've had people in the past say, well, if this type of person comes in the church, I'm leaving. Look here, leave. Leave. Please. Please, leave. Because, see, I don't want that up in here. The day that Christians start saying that people can't come up into the church, we need to shut the doors and lock them up and quit. We're not, as Daddy would say, and he said it for the past 37 years, God did not send you here to change everything about Parish Christian Center. No, God sent you here so Parish Christian Center could change you. So God, working through us, can help change you. Look here, God has changed me many times. He's changed my perception and my rotten, judgmental self many times. And He loves me despite all my wrongs. We got to bear with one another. Go with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I have in here in my notes, and I want to make sure that I make this point. You are never more like Christ than when you bear with one another. Because after all, he who knew no sin became sin. The word says, imitate me, imitate Christ. You really want to be godly? Bear with people. Bear with them. Don't talk about them. Don't gossip about them. Don't give them the silent treatment. Bear with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to look at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. This is why, Pastor, don't get up here and start talking about denominations. You know why? Because the eye cannot say they don't need the rest of the body. That's why. If being a Catholic gets you saved into heaven, praise the Lord. If being a Baptist gets you saved and through the pearly gates, praise God. If being a Presbyterian gets you up there with Jesus in eternity, praise God. You know what we have here is a beautiful thing that we will accept anybody.
That's right. Amen.
We'll accept them. That's why I don't get up there and even waste my time talking about it. Because tyranny, I don't care what denomination people are. It's irrelevant. You think when we get up in heaven, God's going to be like, okay, all you wonderful Baptist people, you get over here. And then all you Catholics, you get over there. Look here, I don't care where he puts me up in there, but I want to be right by the Dr. Pepper fountain. That's all I care about. And I want them bright white teeth like that guy off of Mercy Me.
Amen.
And I want to be able to sing when I get up there. I wanted to sing my whole life, and I really got gypped on that. I just turned the radio on, and I just act like it's me. That's what I do. Amen. I hope you didn't come to be all serious today. You can laugh in church. It's okay. It's not a sin. And it says here, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division. Everybody say that with me. No division. You know what's the worst thing is when the Christians start getting into it with each other. Ain't nobody fight like a bunch of Christians. Amen.
Amen.
Man, Christians and scrap better than anybody I know. Besides Shelly. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Shelly. I got to poke fun at you. I haven't got to be around you. We need to do a sister day. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers. If one member in the body is suffering, you're all suffering. If one member in the body has a joy, you all have joy. And I've seen that working so well in Parish Christian Center. I've seen people hurting, and the other people over here, what can I do to help them? I can't tell you how humbled I was when I saw how good everybody was to Melissa and her family. Melissa, have you ever been loved quite like that? That's what a church family is. See, you're not going to understand everybody. Rocky, there's going to be things about me you don't understand. You don't got to understand everything. You don't got to know everything. I'm amazed at the people that want to be all up in my business. God help them. Lord, please, because I'm going to if you don't. Yes, I got to get that flesh under control. But I do have that Italian blood running through my body that wants to be a gangster every once in a while. I come by that honestly, all right? When one member of the body suffers, you all suffer. When one of them's honored, you're all honored. I can tell you this. When Brenda Babe got in nursing school and she graduated nursing school, here's how I felt. I felt like I just became a nurse. I was like, oh my God, I've got another degree. I was up in a food pantry meeting the other day and they were like, you're going to have to take a 100-question test to pass. And I was like, oh God, I can't do tests. My mind doesn't recall anything. What do you mean, a test? I'm 37 years old. I can't be taking no tests. I don't retain information, okay? I mean, if I see a blouse that I like and it's like $20, I'm like, I gotta get that blouse. I'll remember that till the cows come home. Anything else, it don't stay in here. It just don't work that way. Don't work that way. Last place this morning, Galatians chapter 6. You know, your church family, in my opinion, is the most important family that you've got, because you know what? The hard reality is this right here. There may be members in your family, they don't make it to heaven. That's their choice. Keep praying for them. Keep believing God for them. But at the end of the day, the people that's sitting by you, the people that you love, that's your family. That's your family. There's never a time that you should feel embarrassed, ashamed, or judged in the body of Christ. Never. I'm going to repeat that. There is never, y'all say never. We're going to get you proactive in this message. There is never, ever, ever a time where you should feel ashamed, embarrassed, judged. In the body of Christ, there's never a time where you should feel like that. When you come alongside someone in their battle, understand this. There are things that they are going through. There are ways that they are hurting they can't even talk about. You don't have to have all the answers. Just love on them. Bear with them. Bear with them. I can't tell you how many batches of no-bake chocolate cookies that Miss Mary has made me over the past 9 months. I can't tell you how many times Sherry would come and do this food stuff for me. Bear with people. Bear with them when they're going through something. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. You know what? Look at yourself. Don't talk about anybody. Look at yourself. The word says, judge yourself lest you be judged. Take a good look at yourself. And that way, when you're looking at others, you don't have any judgment for them. You know they're just a person just like you. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. See, it's the gossiping sinful nature that makes you want to judge somebody and talk about them instead of love them. And I'm the worst gossip at times than I know. If I'm not careful, I'll catch myself talking about my own self. To myself. About myself. I'm talented. And it says, the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Verse 9, If you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, I want you to hear this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good. Let us, we are in this together.
Amen.
Let us not become weary in doing good. There are times where you're doing everything that you can do and you're doing good and you get weary. Right there in that moment, say, God, help me to not become weary in doing good. I've had to say that prayer so many times. And you know what? People say all the time, how do you do what you do? God. God is the only way. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If you don't hear anything else that I pray or say today, I want to tell you this. Don't give up. Don't give up. God has something so good for you right around the corner. Don't give up. Don't give up. And don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your church people. Yeah, I know you get annoyed with them sometimes. Get over it. Don't give up on that. Bear with people. Bear with them. When Sally Sue's driving you crazy, bear with her. She's driving herself crazy. Amen? And it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Y'all stand with me. We're going to pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for your word that came out today. And God, I thank you, Lord, that it fell on good ground. And God, I ask that you would grow that word in the hearts of your children right now. God, you know what each one of them face. You know what the battle that they're in. And so, God, I thank you right now that you've sent them the right people, God, to be close to them, Lord, during this. God, I thank you that you protect them. God, you protect their coming and you protect their going. Lord, and I praise you, God, and I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the Manna Center. God, I thank you for the finances of the families in this church. Lord, I thank you for health coming to their bodies, God, right now in Jesus' name. Amen.